That November morning in 1990, Michael J. Fox stared at his trembling left pinky with growing confusion. The small movement defied his control, persisting despite his attempts to stop it. Was it from drinking the night before? A head injury from horsing around with Woody Harrelson? This seemingly insignificant tremor would become the harbinger of life-altering news: early-onset Parkinson's disease at age 30. The diagnosis came with a grim timeline. He could continue acting for another good 10 years. What the doctor couldn't predict was that those years would become the most meaningful of Fox's life, not despite his condition, but because of it. The disease that began with a rebellious pinky finger would ultimately transform him from a self-absorbed celebrity into someone with genuine purpose. What makes this story so compelling isn't just Fox's refusal to surrender to self-pity, but his eventual embrace of his condition as a gift, one that forced him to choose between living under siege or embarking on a journey of self-discovery. The path he chose would lead him to depths of meaning he never imagined possible. Before Parkinson's, Fox enjoyed extraordinary privilege. His career skyrocketed after leaving Canada for Los Angeles in 1979, landing Family Ties by 1982, and by 1985 having both the #1 TV show and movie with Back to the Future. Fame created a reality where normal rules vanished, paths cleared wherever he went, reserved tables materialized in packed restaurants, architectural plans received instant approval. Even traffic laws seemed optional. When caught driving 80 miles an hour while on his car phone, consequences were minimal. The perks were intoxicating. Nike offered free merchandise just when he could finally afford it. After mentioning he liked Canadian Moosehead beer on Jay Leno, a vanload arrived at his door. Most seductive was the wink, that tacit recognition that rules didn't apply because he wasn't just anyone anymore. The word no disappeared from his life precisely when he needed boundaries most. How does one maintain perspective in a realm of perpetual yes? In summer 1985, during Family Ties, Fox met Tracy Pollan, cast as his on-screen girlfriend. Their chemistry was immediate, despite their differences. She brought refined, methodical New York theater training, while he relied on instinct and comedic timing. Tracy wasn't impressed by his celebrity. Fox pinpoints when he fell in love. After making a rude joke about her breath, she looked him directly in the eyes and said, "You were vile and rude. You're a perfect and absolute jerk." No one had spoken to him like that in years. Working with Tracy demanded an attention Fox hadn't reached before. Raised on Manhattan's Upper East Side, she saw beyond his facade of success. Before returning to New York, she left him a cassette with a James Taylor song about John Belushi, a gentle warning not to lose himself. Years later, after they married and Fox received his diagnosis, her response wasn't pity, but partnership. For better or worse, in sickness and in health, this is the worst part. When he apologized for bringing this burden into her life, she simply said, "It's not your fault." Less than 2 years after his father's death, Fox got a third opinion about his tremor at Mount Sinai Hospital. Despite the neurologist's initial doubt due to Fox's young age, the examination confirmed Parkinson's disease. Fox first responded with denial, indulging in escape fantasies and hopes of misdiagnosis. He frantically embraced fitness, believing physical strength might slow his neurological decline. He also limited alcohol to once weekly, a significant change for someone with a lifelong drinking career. These were his attempts to bargain with the disease. Remarkably, Parkinson's gradually stripped away Fox's delusions. The disease threatening his acting career helped him see beyond his roles, both on screen and in life. The condition he couldn't control taught him to recognize what he could, his response, choices, and perspective. Isn't this the beginning of wisdom for all of us, learning to distinguish between what we can and cannot change? On June 26, 1992, Fox hit rock bottom. After a night of excess, moving from tequila to vodka to beer, he returned home at dawn, lying to Tracy about work. he collapsed on the couch with a beer and lost consciousness. When he awoke to his 3-year-old son, Sam, bouncing on him, excited about their planned trip, Tracy appeared. Instead of anger, she showed indifference, asking, "Is this what you want? Is this what you want to be?" before walking away. In that moment, Fox realized he'd reached his limit. Unlike other alcoholics, he hadn't experienced financial ruin or jail time yet. Paradoxically, Parkinson's gave him clarity about what he could and couldn't control. Driving to Connecticut with Sam asleep, Fox prepared his apologies. When he finally spoke to Tracy, he simply admitted, "I have a drinking problem, and I'm ready to quit." Her response? "Stay close to the phone, and I love you." 6 months later, he sought help from Joyce, a Jungian therapist who refused to let him hide behind jokes, forcing him to confront his demons directly. Before Parkinson's, Fox's identity was tied to his acting career. With the disease, his question shifted from, "How long can I continue this way?" to, "How long will I be able to continue living a life?" His priorities reversed. Career setbacks no longer seemed important as he savored time with Tracy and Sam. In September 1999, Fox testified before a Senate subcommittee about inadequate Parkinson's research funding. Appearing without medication to show the disease's real effects, he declared, despite visible tremors, "The time for marching in silence is over. The war against Parkinson's can be won." After leaving Spin City, Fox founded the Michael J. Fox Foundation with a clear goal: planned obsolescence. With executive director Debbie Brooks, he created an agile organization that revolutionized grant allocation, reducing review time from 1 year to 3 months. Within 2 years, they distributed $25 million for research, particularly focusing on embryonic stem cells. His celebrity provided a platform to advocate for all Parkinson's patients. Fox's story powerfully demonstrates reframing Parkinson's not as a curse, but as a gift, so much that he would decline a cure if it meant losing what he's learned. This perspective that our greatest challenges can become our greatest teachers offers a profound lesson for anyone facing adversity. That trembling pinky in a Gainesville hotel room launched a journey that reshaped his life and impacted millions. His foundation has raised over $1 billion for research, and his openness has transformed public perception of the disease, showing that vulnerability can be strength. Fox's journey suggests our response to challenges, rather than the challenges themselves, defines our impact. He transformed a personal tremor into a movement inspiring millions, discovering his most important role wasn't Alex Keaton or Marty McFly. It was being authentically himself, present to both joy and pain.